Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. We're going to be talking today, actually we're going to be replaying an interview we did some time back with an outstanding Canadian trade unionist and internationalist and anti-imperialist, Omar Lateef, who has sadly has passed away. And we had been in communication with Omar. I want to just say that people are knowing his story. He's a perfect individual, as far as I'm concerned, who the type it takes to build a great and healthy trade union movement, because his commitment was to his class. He was not a what you call a career person or someone who was looking out for, you know, narrow interest, but his commitment was to fight on behalf of his class. And he did it with fervor and joy, I would say. I did not know him very well personally, but I certainly was one to his attitude. And I know he was very much appreciated by trade unionists from Unite here and what used to be the International Garment Workers Union. And what he gave us a very important interview, because Omar had done what we urge all Canadians to do, hearing about very slanderous allegations about China and seeing war drums being beaten and bigotry towards China being expressed, all based on, frankly, lies about situation in Western China and Xinjiang. Omar had gone there and made it his personal project to go and see for himself. Of course, others should do the same. You can say, well, I doubt his report. Go ahead. But a healthy mind says, I work from the facts. I work from investigation. And then they report. But there's been an echo chamber building in Canada of hostility to China. So we will be playing that in a few minutes. Probably about 10 past. I want to say that, of course, we now know we have some exciting things to talk about. Had the development of in Afghanistan, where Canada played a role, not noble, an ignoble role, as the junior partner of the empire. And of course, this in the background of this is an upcoming election. And the issue should be, in the view of the Taylor Report, stopping our relations and servitude with the United States, which has deemed itself an imperial power and presumes the right to mandate to interfere in internal affairs of nations around the world. And Afghanistan is a shocking, ugly example. We'll probably talk about it more in the latter part of the show, but I have to remind everybody that the Taliban, which is assuming power now in Kabul, was the brainchild and collaboration out of Washington with at the time, a very manifestly reactionary group. And it was Ronald Reagan and Brzezinski were the authors of a plan to overthrow a socialist government. I raise that because human rights NGOs and other people who like to play with our minds say that we should be concerned about the women of Afghanistan. There had been a revolution in Afghanistan. A government had taken power And it was doing so in the name of the people and in the name of socialism. And it had, I won't go into all the characteristics, but that was the kind of government that had been established and that the United States decided to overthrow. And the means by which they worked to overthrow that government was the instrument was a organization, loosely we're going to call it the Taliban, but it was ideologically driven by extremely reactionary elements. And if you do not know, and it's possible you don't, a great liberal reporter named Dan Rather actually went into the mountains and he grew a beard and he dressed up like a Taliban guy today. And he did a report, a breathless report about how he was traveling with the fighters of the Taliban. He was calling them the Mujahideen to fight the terrible Soviets who were there at the invitation of the government of Afghanistan to fight off these very driven right-wing Islamists. And I say right-wing, I mean, there was a program of repressing women. That didn't bother the Americans. They thought, as a matter of fact, they thought that was brilliant. Mr. Brzezinski thought it was brilliant. And bring this into our discussion of Canadian elections and what we should be doing. We have to break with this, a clean break with this policy of aiding and abetting and enabling the worst elements of US foreign policy, instead of applauding them and saying, well, you know, we got to do what we can do. I remind you that, again, if you do not know, and I would urge you to look it up, Jimmy Carter, when he was president, and this new socialist government was in Afghanistan, and they had invited the Soviet Union to assist them fighting Islamist extremists, Jimmy Carter called for a boycott of the Olympics because he said Russia is in Afghanistan and we can't have an Olympics if the Soviet Union has troops in Afghanistan. Now you understand that today we are talking about the United States having had troops in Afghanistan for almost a quarter century without anybody boycotting or calling for it or invoking some great principle, some marvelous humanity-loving principle to spoil and destroy the Olympic Games. But that's what they did. And it was Jimmy Carter who was at the helm. He even tried to recruit Muhammad Ali, who briefly did his bidding, and he flew to Tanzania and he said to President Nyerere of Tanzania, you got a boycott. And Nyerere said, how much do you know about this? And Ali said he felt like a dummy. And he came home and said, I'm not going to do any more of this, because he realized he didn't know what he's talking about. But Nyerere explained to him a little bit about imperialism, a little bit about colonialism. And well, he converted Muhammad Ali to that idea. We're in a similar situation. We are very likely going to have all these political parties, NDP, the Greens. The Greens have already done it. The Greens don't want us to be participating in the upcoming Winter Olympics. Anybody comes to the door running for office, say, are you in favor of undermining, destroying the Olympics because of the Americans? Because the Americans are going to be the ones who decide. We have a prime minister and we have an American president. No one knows what Canadians' foreign policy is until Biden says what it's going to be. But there's plenty of people getting ready to salute and follow up on any order to destroy the coming Winter Olympics. And very loud in that department are the New Democratic Party, the Liberal Party, and the Conservatives, of course. The Bloc is not so clear about what it thinks of these matters, but Canada needs to make a clear break with this ongoing commitment to empire which is never ending and is extremely dangerous to Canada and to the rest of the world. The rest of the world does exist. The international community is not London, Paris, Germany, France, and the United States, and Australia, and us. The world is, the overwhelming majority of the world's people would like to have things like the Winter Olympics. They would like to have international law enforced through established institutions such as the United Nations. It is, when we read about a crisis like that is unfolding, the news is unfolding in Afghanistan, we shouldn't be talking about what the President of the United States thinks. There are neighboring countries whose opinion is much more important, and which they are the ones who should be solving questions, even on the questions of refugees, questions that now people want to say, well, there's all these people who work for us, are we going to save them? Well, the problem is, if you give the Marine Corps or the Air Force the right to do the saving, more people are going to die than you save. And I don't know, it is a violation of any kind of political responsibility to not do what would practically work. What would practically work would be to accept the unspeakable word of multilateralism, which has been offered by President Putin of Russia, President Xi of China, and that, and of course, America, its ears explode when it hears these words. The word is multilateralism to solve the issue of safety and security for Afghanistan. Of course, the neighbors have to be involved. It's kind of like a house. This has a big brawl going on. The neighbors get a little bit interested. The neighbors, not the United States, which is several thousand miles away and has no business there at all. Canada has less, and yet our politicians are gonna be, you know, wringing their hands and pretending it's their job. And not, it is not their job. Well, this is the Taylor Report. And we, as I said, we have an interview with Omar Lateef, and we're going to play that, and we'll come back with further discussion on Afghanistan and the coming election in Canada. And welcome back. This is the Taylor Report, and again, we mourn passing of Omar Lateef, and we're really glad he was our guest, and we're sorry that in the last weeks that there was we had some contact with him and had hoped to have him on again. As Matt, he volunteered to talk about Afghanistan, and I regret now that I didn't immediately say yes. What I said was, as I often do, please send me some background and suggested ideas, and also so I could do my homework, and I expected to hear from him, and sadly, we lost Omar Lateef. Continuing on in his spirit, let's just say that the times require cooperation, multilateralism, and an attitude of serving the people all over the world. And we are not led in the West by people who believe that. Every time you have a crisis, if it's COVID or even forest fires or whatever, they begin to, our leaders, begin to think of ways they can weaponize or leverage it to some personal benefit, a personal political benefit for them. For example, certain countries get the vaccine from them. Certain countries are prevented, like Venezuela, Iran, Syria. US works to prevent them from getting things. I go back to it. We need cooperation. We need multilateralism. This isn't a threat to anybody. It means international cooperation. Using their own words, they now are going code red on the climate. Meanwhile, and all the parties of Canada, all of them, are adopting war footing language towards a major power, China. And whether they know it or not, I guess they're too dumb to know. The military is a major source of global warming, a major, look it up. And so Canada needs more warplanes, right? And all the parties agree. What we need is a peace policy and an end to this war rhetoric and warlike rhetoric, the slandering, and it is slander of China on the issues that are internal to China. Taiwan's Xinjiang, Hong Kong, those are internal matters to China's. So, and China's a member of the Security Council. But every political leader in Canada, save Mr. Trudeau, who, because he's in power, he has to kind of watch his tongue a little bit. But the party, his party members voted along with a smearing resolution accusing, without evidence, entirely based on highly prejudiced sources, of using the word genocide. That is ignorant. It's also, and it is extremely dangerous, and will have very ugly political consequences, and it will not contribute at one iota to ending the global warming and the climate crisis. Just a little reminder, 3 or 4 years ago, there was we had major fires in the Canadian West. And at that time, Russia was still a member of attending G12, G21, G7, I don't know which number to use, but they were at least, you know, we had a degree of cordiality. President Putin said he had aircraft and personnel trained in fighting fires if he wanted, he volunteered. You could have heard a pin drop. You know, we're talking about putting out fires, talking about major fires, the kind that are contributing to the destruction of the planet and an ecosystem, all these lovely words that liberals just can't get enough of reciting. And president of a country offers to help put out a fire, that would be cooperating, and turned down flat. I remember now that they also flew in from firefighters from South Africa, and they never fought any fire. For some bureaucratic reason, they all got back on the plane and left. Just to remind you, we should look into that. But we're led by people. We have not had a stellar effort in COVID-19. We're not getting a stellar effort in fighting these natural disasters. That's because we don't have a government designed to serve the people. That's not why they're there. I just read a story about a cowboy singer who's in the Canadian West who's objecting to the deal that was struck to permit mining companies, coal mining, I think, but mining companies to come into an area which has not been under mining. And he said, "Well, I'm not against the mining companies. I'm against the government letting them do that." Well, he put his finger on the point. Governments are supposed to be there to serve the people. These governments, US and Canada, think their job is to serve the capitalists. They say, oh, here's a chance to make some money. They talk to 10 lobbyists from the mining outfit. Who are they gonna then talk to? Maybe some indigenous leaders and maybe a few union people who hear the door close behind them and they know they're not gonna be coming back because it's all a joke. We got to end the choky part of this and fight very hard for a cooperative attitude towards the rest of the world. And that would put us at odds with the United States. There is not a political party in Canada at this moment, no major party that's on the ticket, the ones they tell us about, who has not signed on to the vilification of China. That should be a splitting This is old left-wing language. That's a splitting issue. War and peace is a splitting issue. First job of any government is to keep the people safe and to keep them out of wars. Because we are in an imperial system, wars are fought because it's necessary for the health of the empire. And they're not called wars. It's humanitarian intervention. It's rescue. It's saving this one, saving that one. And it's a hoax. But those Canadian parties, the NDP, the Greens, the Liberals, and the Conservatives, all of whom voted to antagonize a sovereign country based on false or non-evidence, without even going, by the way, to any international institution to make the argument, which shows total disrespect for the rest of the world. What it says is white Europeans know best. All those Five Eyes people take a totally bigoted, racist attitude. There's no way they can be supported. There's no, if any party that makes such a wild, reckless, bigoted accusation against the People's Republic should not be supported. Has to be told, no, you have to go on down the street, forget it. And if there are peace candidates, let's get them out there. If there are people who are going to speak up on this issue, let's say, we want to live in a peaceful world. We want a leadership that's committed to it. The American leadership is not. Speaking of that American leadership and what is happening in Afghanistan, I have a nice memory of something that might be apocryphal, attributed to Napoleon. He said, empires die of indigestion. And this is part of what is going on in Afghanistan. America has great reach, and therefore it reaches. However, it runs into the people who don't care to be in their clutches. So the people of Syria are fighting back, the people of Venezuela are fighting back, the people of the Islamic Republic are fighting back, the people of Afghanistan are. You could say today that Afghanistan has been overrun by the Afghanis. The best news so far about the new government, we haven't got to know them, is that they are not espousing the kind of hostility and ugliness that was once associated with their name. But we better watch that closely. The US is trying to hold on to an empire, just as the British did and do. Britain has not gone away. Britain has a navy sailing around Taiwan. Germany is using warships to sail around Taiwan and close to Hong Kong. They don't belong there. They've spent 150 years trying to subdue the Chinese people, and the Chinese people, on behalf of all of us, chased them out, on behalf of all of us. Anybody who wants to be in an empire is sick and do not respect the rights of other people. We need to get our return to mental health. But I want to underline that. Let's quote again President Assad of Syria. He said, when the French left after being defeated by Syrian resistance, when the French left Syria, he said that was the day they began their plan to come back. And that's, you have to understand, that is going to be the case in Afghanistan. The US is already making plans to how it will figure a way to find some allies and find an excuse to get itself back in. And so this idea that, you know, they go away forever, no, they don't go away forever. They can't, it's like dealing with someone with a terrible addiction. They can't give it up. Empire is who they are. I think it was Pogo who said, we've met the enemy and he is us, but they are us. He's right. This is what has happened. And we have to say, in the case of, and it's very important at this point to say, the United States has forces in Syria, northeast Syria. They are removing oil of the sovereign country of Syria. They crushed and destroyed the best government Libya ever had, the highest standard of living ever in that part, region of Africa, was under the Libyan government of Muammar Gaddafi. They destroyed it and they danced on his grave. This idea that you sign on the way the NDP has and the Liberals have and the Conservatives have and the Greens have, that, oh, America is our leader. You are part of a destructive imperial effort. You're trying to be part of an empire. Canada is not going to be saved until the Canadian people resolve that no more of this Olympic boycott crap following Americans because they give the wave the magic wand. And no more baiting of the sovereign country of China, which is a developing country. And why is it developing? It's 150 years of occupation. When they had governor of Hong Kong, there was no democracy in Hong Kong. It was British governor of Hong Kong. So we have to confront the candidates in the party and tell them, get lost. If you have a hostile, adversarial approach to a major developing country, your party does not, should not be in office. Only people who promote peace and cooperation should be governing. This is the Taylor Report. We'll see you next week.